Boo.
Boys and girls of every podcast, wouldn't you like to hear something fast? It's a podcast. I'm doing it fast. I am Tom. He is Rich.
I love that you came up with one rhyme for podcast there. It was the word fast. You're like, I'll stick with it.
Immediately. That was good. Stick with it. Then I got a bit lost. It is a spooky Halloween podcast with me, Tom.
And me, Rich.
And we're talking about our dads who are dead and what would happen if something spooky happened.
You guys can't see the face that Tom's doing there, but it's pretty spooky.
It was spooky to me, too.
Yeah, this is our super spooky Halloween episode. We're going to be talking ghouls, ghosts, specifically dead dad ghosts, dead dad ghouls, and Halloween and dads generally. This is quite a dad-based time.
So, enjoy the podcast! Going to set the scene, Rich. It's a spooky Halloween night. You're lying in bed, and you open your eyes, and the ghost of your dad appears, the spirit in the room.
Interesting. And what's he doing? Just standing
sitting,
there?
No, he's sitting. He's in the corner. He's having a sit. He's reading a newspaper.
Right.
A ghost, day or... a ghost newspaper.
Ah. the Daily...
Telegool.
Grail? Yeah, there's got to be something in there.
Yeah. Well, let's get this bit right first because it's the Gouldian,
the Daily Whale,
the Daily Whale. Okay, so like whale, he's reading the Daily Whale.
Yeah.
So you can tell straight away. Well, hang on a second, that's not. You can't buy that in Tesco.
Yeah.
So straight away, you know something's off.
That would be my first thought if I saw my dad, the ghost of my dad, sat in the corner. I'd be like, what paper is he reading?
Yeah. You're like, well,
is that the Daily? The Daily Whale. Oh, I see. Good. They love puns in the afterlife. Good to know.
Exactly. If you're going to start an afterlife newspaper, you know, you've got to get something that's going to sell.
What's the headline on the front of the Daily Whale, by the way? Just, I've not been keeping up to date with current affairs.
Oh, well, it'll be St. Peter welcomes Matthew Perry.
Ah, nice.
It's nice, isn't it?
Good to know. Good to know he made it.
Yeah, of course. It's just lovely. So he's reading that, because this happens, we're recording on the 30th, so this happens tomorrow on
Tomorrow
Halloween.
Night, okay.
So by the time you're listening to this, listener, and we've published this, this will have happened. So this is just preparing, Rich. So he reads the mail, the whale, closes it, puts it down, and turns to you. Ah, you're awake, son.
Oh, is that the voice he's using?
And I have the ghost voice on. Turns that off.
Right.
Back to you're awake. Hello.
Hiya, Dad.
I've got limited time.
Right. Oh, okay. So suddenly he's in a rush. He's been sat reading the Daily Whale for quite a while in the corner of the room, waiting for me to wake up.
Yeah, exactly.
But now he's in a hurry.
He doesn't want to wake you up, but he's anyway. I've got limited time. But I need to ask you. I need to ask you how you're doing.
Oh,
because I can't check in on you up there, so I just need a quick update. But because of my limited time, which I appreciate, it's getting more and more stretched.
Yeah, as you continue to explain. the more time that he spends really stressing how little time he's got. He has less and less time. Okay, yeah, so he's quite panicked by this point.
Because you gotta, speed it up.
You gotta be a lot faster than I've just been.
Yeah, he says, what I'm doing right now, no good. No good. Okay. Leave that right out. Speedily, I can't check in on you. So on background, when I'm up there, I can't check in on you or your brothers. So I've done them. I've had a whip round. I've done your mum, I've done your brothers, and I'm doing you as well.
Oh, horrible phrasing, but we haven't got time to.
I haven't got time for your jokes, Rich. Yeah. I haven't got time for that. Your silly jokes.
Yeah.
So bear in mind, he died 8 years
nine
ago.
9 years ago.
9 years ago. So he died nine years ago, and this has never happened before. I'm sorry. I'm assuming this has never happened before.
Imagine if I'd never mentioned it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, Dad's popping in for one of his yearly Halloween visits. Yeah, of course.
So it's never happened before.
It's never happened.
So he says, I've done your mum, done your brothers. So to clarify, this can only So I can only do this once a decade, he says. I've come in a bit earlier. I got special. Sorry, there was a deal going on. I got a voucher
for good behaviour. He was sent down a year early. Right. So don't want to get fully into the automated system of how it works up there, and it is a lot like prison, but it's like a really nice prison.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of places. So I was with her for an hour, so we did good chat. And your brothers again, sort of an hour each. Done well for them. But obviously you're right. Yeah, you know, I thought I'd do last.
I don't want to interrupt. Yeah. Obviously, we've got very limited time. Yeah, and I can hear it ticking away as we speak. But just the logic behind you coming to me last is surprising, because like age order would have made sense: mum, oldest brother, middle brother, me, and then youngest afterwards. But you've come to me last, which is interesting.
Yeah, so he's like, well, obviously your mum, I loved her the most.
Right. Okay. Again.
I guess you would expect that, but it's still. Yeah. I imagine it hurts to hear it, but
it's not ideal, is it?
Still him saying this.
I mean, it's a bit galling when we're fully 5 minutes into this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the first time the word love has come up, and it's you quantifying your love for me as less than somebody else. But nice to see you after 9 years.
Yeah, he goes, well, I haven't really got time for that. So your older brother, obviously, he was next. He says, I haven't got time for this either, but you did ask, and I want to be a good father.
A terrible job of that currently.
Yeah, so your older brother, obviously, he was there. So I thought, make sure he's doing all right with all that. Your younger brother was?
My younger brother was there.
He says, up there, it's all a bit...
Yeah,
it's like he says. It's like this, really.
Hard for him to focus on who was in the room.
He didn't mean to do your younger brother, but it's just because he sort of got confused about which was which.
I see.
So he did the older brother by accident, making sure he's all right, and then it turned out at the end. Oh no, it was the other one.
So then, of course,
do the other one now. He's like, so I'm really sorry about that. That's mea culpa.
Right. Well, I mean, it's scant. consolation, but the fact that you do know who I am
is
something. At least
you would have got half an hour and he would have got half hour, but again, because of the error, it would have been 40 minutes each, but obviously at this point I've sort of spent a good 10 minutes at this point explaining, but
okay,
so don't worry about that. So anyway, that's the order of events, that's how we got here, again, there was a system with a vouch. We don't need to go into that. Limited time. I just need we can't see what you're doing up there, so we've got no idea.
You've made that clear.
So 8 years, 9 years has gone by. I've no idea what's happened in that time. At this point, we're really measuring the seconds in terms of what we've got available. Could you just catch me up? Oh, and I love you, obviously. Whatever.
Sure.
Can you just catch that?
In the last 9 years, not bad. Things are pretty good, thanks. How are you? Or does he want? Is that too brief?
I'll continue in the role.
Oh, sorry.
Great, fine. Again, all good up there. I actually got a great deal. I got this voucher, but not important. But it was a good deal. But I feel like I'd be more interested in sort of what you've done, just outside of being good. Anything? Are you still in Doncaster?
No. I've moved. I moved down to London.
Good.
Live in London now. I still do a similar job.
Quickly though, a bit faster.
Live in London. I just bought a flat with my girlfriend.
Good. She good.
Really like. She's
Same.
Great. She's
don't
lovely.
Know her. Well, don't know her.
Different one person. From before. Yep. Let's not get into the ins and outs. But
that was all fine.
This one currently all fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, previous ones all had their merits, but this is the best one.
Work-wise, you're still doing whatever it was, writing?
Still doing
your silly jokes?
Yeah, still doing whatever it was. Yeah, I now make some of my living through the silly jokes. I'm a comedian as well.
Oh, brilliant.
Stand-up.
What do you tend to talk about?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, what is it, really? Just out of curiosity, just because of the limited time, I just want to...
Yeah, okay.
I want to tell the big man what you're up to.
You come Peter Crouch, up a obviously. Fair bit. Yep. Yeah. He's dead.
I'm going to him next. That's why he's got limited time. Right.
They get their direct family and then one miscellaneous extra. And his is Crouchy.
What? Oh, nice. Wow. That's insane.
My dad had strong opinions on Peter Crouch. Because Peter Crouch played for Aston Villa when my dad was a season ticket holder there. And then when Liverpool bought him, people were like, is he good enough? My dad was always like, yeah, he's got a very good touch. You wouldn't think it because of how tall he is, but he's got a very good touch. So wow. Maybe he's just going over to Crouchy to say, listen, I backed you.
Yeah, well, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, but anyway, sorry.
We need to stop. Sorry, so again, just to focus, I'm going to Crouchy next, as you know, and I just want to tell him about what you're up to. So again, okay. He's like, have you ever met Crouchy?
I have, yes, I met Crouchy. I did a gig that he was at. We had a little chat. Very tall. Nice.
Very tall. Good, but you wouldn't expect it. Touch. But he's got a very good touch for a big man.
Yeah. Which you wouldn't really expect.
Yeah, it was a season to get older. Aston Villa. Are you still putting money into the club after my death? Or
at Villa?
Yeah, of course, obviously. And that's it. And I'm so sorry.
That's it. Oh, it ends with a misunderstanding about
what would you do?
How football works.
What would you do if that happened?
I'd have played it differently. I'm glad we've had this conversation before it
just
does
to
happen
set you up
night
for it.
Because I think both of us, me and my dad, could learn quite a lot from how that interaction went. I do think it would be awkward. I think because what would you say? Well, let's turn it around. It's the 31st of October. You're asleep in bed in Glasgow. Your wife Amanda.
Do try not to dox me during this podcast. Just to clarify.
Oh yeah, I mean, the city that you live in is.
That's fine, but just try not to dox me, just so we.
Okay, so you're asleep in your bedroom at 22 Chaffinch Drive.
I love that you went for 22. It's my birthday. And not my house.
And
number.
No, you wake up dead of night,
of course,
because you hear a noise, and you think, what? I recognise that noise. And you slowly, as you come to, you realise it's the sound of the England-themed bottle opener that your dad bought you years ago that hasn't worked. And you look over, and there he is, opening a bottle of beer at the end of your bed.
Oh, sat on the bed?
Standing.
Standing at the foot.
Yeah, standing at the foot of the bed. Looming, almost.
Yeah.
And he pops off the top of the beer. He takes a swig, and he says, "Afternoon, son."
Oh, afternoon.
Yep. And you say, what do you mean afternoon?
It's the middle of the night. Famously, the dead of night.
Is it? Right. I think it's a time difference thing. It's actually afternoon in heaven.
Does it work differently up there?
We're a few hours behind. Yeah. And then you go, oh, so is it Halloween then? He goes, actually, no, it's the day before Halloween. I've got to do some actual haunting on Halloween. We all get sent out on Halloween to go and do some
haunting.
Sort of heavy-duty haunting. Yeah,
I didn't think of it like that. I always thought haunting is the sort of the ghosts of the ones who didn't get to heaven, but you seem to be...
No, it's very much rota-based.
Oh.
Everyone gets put on a list. It's like jury duty, but it always happens on Halloween, and a few get selected and you get sent out to various people.
So this is the point where I'd probably say, so it seems that there's an afterlife, which is quite a big deal for me, obviously, as someone who isn't dead.
Oh, yeah.
And you're being very blasé about that, just so we're clear.
Well, yeah, not a big deal for me. I've been there a couple of years now, so.
Yeah. How is it?
I understand now it's a surprise for you. This is probably quite a surprise for you, isn't it?
It's not a small surprise. How is it that you're here?
Oh, well, I had a voucher. I don't want to go into the sort of too much of the detail, but essentially There's a system. You get rewarded for good behavior. I got a voucher that allowed me to come down, spend a bit of time with you guys.
You famously like, oh, you came to me first.
Came to you first, yeah. I thought I'd get the dross out of the way and then head on. So some time. I'm messing
Seems
with you.
Unnecessary, really.
I'm joking. I didn't come to you first.
I've never had anyone dead come to me, and though I do know a few dead people. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you're able to? Just because from my perspective now, I'm sort of thinking, oh, is it a dream? Have I lost my mind? You know, could you explain the sort of the why it's you and why sort of my granddad never has, for example, or.
He wasn't that keen on you. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Yep. He wasn't a big fan. You get up there and you get
that
you
was
make a
born
list
out
people
through
you wanna,
my childhood.
You see
really,
again.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Yeah. Listen, harsh truths, but I haven't really got time for. Sorry, I should have said I'm in quite a rush.
You're in a clock.
I parked illegally, so I'm on double yellow.
You've parked.
Yeah, well, you have
to come. You would never park illegally when you were alive. What's happened to you up there?
Well, I can't get arrested down here, but you know, I can still be fined. So
right, you just want to avoid that.
Yeah.
So you had to drive to get to me, which is quite a big development again, because I sort of assumed that there was an element of corporeality, but it seems that you do exist in the physical world, because you've sort of nicked one of my beers as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's surprising, isn't it?
They're gluten-free and expensive, so I'm not too happy about that.
We
seem to be putting our cards on the table at this point. Actually, to be honest with you, this is quite an interesting development. Because you were alive, mm-hmm. the deal was, let's pretend that everything's fine.
Yeah.
But now that you are dead, it's kind mm-hmm. of like, I can just say anything because I'm going to see you again. Am I going to see you again?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes.
I mean, it's up to me.
That's crazy. But, that's massive. This is huge news.
This is why I didn't want everything to be the last time, because I had some idea that, you know, I'd be...
But you already knew.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, I was on the way out for a while.
Right.
And you get like palliative care, and what people don't tell you about palliative care is that they come and they sort of whisper to you, there is an afterlife. I've just got the card through. This is where you're going. This is how it works. You're off to heaven. Pack your bags. So you have to pack a bag, weirdly.
It's not. Okay. So to clarify this development, because this has been mm-hmm. rich with developments, it's not that the sort of heaven itself tells you there is an afterlife before you die to make you calmer, but the sort of the nurse from Macmillan whispers your ear, don't worry, John, and slips the note or something.
That's why Macmillan needs so much funding, is because the hush money to keep those nurses quiet.
Course.
Otherwise, it would blow the whole case wide open.
They've got a direct line with the afterlife. That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Were you not worried about going into the old hell? Just out of curiosity.
Oh no, they tell you where you're going.
Oh, that's great.
They come down and they're like, "Good news, buddy."
They come down again. So it is someone from the afterlife, or is it?
No. Sorry, I was downstairs, and then this lady, she'd gone upstairs to the toilet, and then she came back down, and she told me.
Okay, more questions. Yeah. Obviously, you lived in a flat. So she used the upstairs neighbor's toilets.
Yeah, I mean, they're weird people. They've you take on this burden of knowledge and it does something to your brain. So
yeah,
she was very, very strict about she wouldn't wee in our toilet. One of their rules. I don't claim to understand everything. I'll be honest, I feel like I feel like we've crossed over to the point where I'm starting to worry you think I actually am your dad. You can't. There was a point when you were starting to say, like, and so I can say whatever I like, where I was like, Tom, just don't want to break your heart, but...
Yeah, sorry, you weren't, were you? God, that's a nightmare, isn't it?
I mean, what we've worked out is that both of us would be very hung up on the sort of practicalities of the visit rather than...
I know! I'd like to think that it wouldn't be, but I think in reality... if a ghost appeared before me in reality. I think I just have so many questions about the. I mean, the thing is, if your dad has appeared before you as a ghost,
mm-hmm.
and you, it's perhaps the biggest. You immediately know a lot of things you didn't know before. The afterlife exists. They seem to be doing fine, so it's all right. You don't really need to stress out about life in general anymore. I think it's quite a lot of things just taken off you. I was about to ask if you had any regrets.
I think I'd been out of my depth with that question.
Yeah, I mean, you were already a bit confused about the housing arrangement.
Have you ever had a ghostly experience, or Dad specifically? Have you ever had a sensation that, like, of your dad after he died? Of a sort of spiritual thing, or just a weird feeling?
It's a great question. It's a good question. I've sort of had a kind of a... Not good for the podcast listener, this. I'm sort of waving my hand about.
Yeah.
One of that sort of mean, you know, it's sort of the visual version of, you know, one of those kind of things where you're out somewhere and you sort of get that feeling of, oh, he'd like this.
Right.
You know.
Is that a sense of him, not of him being there, just it makes you think of him almost?
I think it's more the reminiscence thing.
Yeah.
Though I did effectively see my dad once.
Really?
On a train. I think, I don't know if I've sent you this photo. I was on a train in ScotRail train. And, this guy kind of sat down the aisle a bit and on the opposite seat, so kind of facing towards me, but the opposite side of the aisle, sat there. And this man looked an extraordinary amount like my dad. Now, my dad had a lot of features which would fall into the realms of similarity with other people. The bald head, slight white stubble, with the kind of slight white stubble for the bald man's crown hair as thin eyebrows, no moustache, like, and very pink, very red faced,
right?
Much unlike my sort of lovely olive skin, he was the quite pink, angry white man kind of face,
right?
Yes, yeah. So, and but he also had on that kind of pink shirt that my dad used to wear, the kind of smart,
yeah, I've
Ben
seen it in
Sherman
pictures.
Yeah, you see that kind of thing. It's was sort of trout. I mean, it was weird. I mean, I sent the photo to everyone in my family being like, I sort of looked a lot like Dad. Now, obviously, that's in the jokey sense, but there was an initial looking at him and the kind of, you know, the brain initially understood that as an image of my dad.
Yeah.
For a microsecond before the understanding of, no, it's another person. So there was a very brief, like, oh, okay. Like, so
what
misprocessing of it. As
what seemed. Order did it go in? Because it could either be you saw him, because the first time you see him, you'd think, your brain would just go, that's my dad.
Of course, that's
and
the thing.
And then the next thought would either be, it can't be him, he's dead. It's someone else. Or was it, it's someone else? Oh, he's dead.
And also he's dead. Absolutely
so
right.
So it was that way around.
Absolutely right. That's my dad. Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, actually, he's dead. In quite quick order, obviously. But, you know, totally. What's my dad? Oh, no. But then, oh, yes, obviously. That would be of the course. Sort of the mental language of it all. It's quite interesting. But I wonder, I mean, if you want to be spooky about it, then maybe that man never existed. Spooky!
That is spooky. I got goosebumps. So that man on the train was your dad?
Was my dad. He just looks different due to the nature of the afterlife.
Yeah, because he's dead.
Because he's dead.
He just changed a bit.
He's just changed a bit in appearance. He's eaten two more pies.
Been a few years.
Yeah,
sure.
It's, you put the
hasn't
pounds
changed his
on.
Wardrobe. But
always drinking the lager. You know, it's going to ramp up. Without the cancer to thin him out, that is going to be one fat man.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how
did that? That's quite interesting.
Did it affect you for the rest of the day, or
no?
Was it just like, oh, that's funny?
It didn't for the rest of the day, but it did for a bit. I did definitely. I mean, my instinctive reaction was to tell people because I actually thought maybe it didn't look like him, and I just sort of had this weird experience where I thought it looked like him, but actually it didn't, and I was just in my own head and kind of seeing him in places where he wasn't. It is still the last bit, obviously, seeing him in places where he wasn't. But the I definitely tried to deal with it by telling people about it because it was so weird.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe I have a little bit of an experience like that. But what about you? What about yourself? Any kind of spooky experience, other than him appearing at the foot of your bed reading a newspaper?
Yes. Yeah. That one. Yet to come, of course. Yeah. No, I've never. I don't think I've ever thought that I've seen him. Mm. I have had a weird thing, which was if I was a spiritual person, I would kind of probably be able to convince myself was real in some way. Mm. I think maybe a year after he died, I went on a big walk with my friends. We were doing this big walk, my friends from high school, to raise money for meningitis research.
Not just to Tesco.
No. Even bigger.
Bigger walk.
Even bigger.
The walk to the big Tesco.
Walking up some big hills and stuff. And we did a training walk in the Malvern Hills, which is not far from where I grew up. And I was not having a great time. Obviously, I was quite sad about the whole dad business. In fact, no, this must have been much sooner. It must have been a couple of months after he died, I think. And we were walking and we got to sort of
It was full meningitis, to clarify this, you just said.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So he died 2 months later, you were doing a meningitis walk.
Yeah. Well, it's a thing that I think happens when someone dies, where you kind of go, right, well, I'm going to do something and I've got to do it about what he died from. So
yeah,
here we go. We did this walk. And we got to the end of like the run of hills, and there was one last hill to go up, and we were all like, oh, it's getting quite late. We can get off here and we can take a shorter route back to where we started. And then I looked at the top of the hill, and it's not like a huge hill, but you could see like a silhouette of someone standing on top of the hill and waving in our direction. And my dad had quite a specific wave. He was quite a limp-wristed man.
Big sentence.
I know. It sounds mad, but he had, and I do as well, quite limp wrists. And so when he waved, you could tell it was him waving. And I could have sworn in that moment, I was like, he's at the top of that hill waving at us. And I've got to go up the hill to go, and if I go to the top of the hill, he's going to be there. And I knew it wasn't true. But I was like, but what if we don't go to the top of the hill? And then I'll never know. And then we didn't go to the top of the hill because I was too embarrassed to say to everyone, I've got a feeling that the ghost of my dad is at the top of that hill. And so we then turned around and we went back home again. But it did feel spooky in a way.
Spooky.
It felt like a thing. But I think just me convincing myself of it.
You actually changed your behavior on account of it.
Well, no, I didn't, but I was tempted to.
So the intention was never to go up the hill?
Yeah, yeah. The intention was to turn around and go home.
So you still fulfilled your obligations to the stakeholders, so the money went to meningitis. You didn't.
This was a training walk, so it didn't matter whether we finished the hill or not.
This wasn't the big walk. Okay, sure.
No.
This was just training, absolutely.
And one of the things that I learned about doing big charity walks is that actually no one gives a shit whether you do the walk or not. I mean, nobody's donated money is then going, did you finish, did you do all seven hills and within the allotted time? If not, I'm having my money back.
Yeah.
It's generally quite a safe bet. They have to just give you the money.
It's unlikely they'll ask for evidence, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But that was the...
But you almost probably changed your behaviour because of it. You saw a figure that reminded you enough of your dad that you thought... I mean, I guess the question being ultimately at the heart of all this is, did a little bit of you, in the tiniest sliver, was there a bit of you that considered or felt that might be your dad?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy.
There definitely was. But I think in those early days, and because it had been such a sudden thing, those kind of things happened quite a lot where I'd kind of I'd also come up with weird little bargains in my head that are not helpful to anyone. But you'd sort of go, oh, what if, you know, what if I could give up my relationship at the time? You know, if it could, would I swap that for my dad coming back? And or what if this bad thing happened to me, but my dad came back? Would I take that gamble? And it's sort of, they're all horrible and pointless things to think.
Asking yourself a game of forbidden, would you rather?
Yeah, essentially.
It's evil, would you rather, with yourself.
And I think this was kind of a continuation of that, of like, well, if you go to the top of the hill, because I really didn't want to climb the hill. Mm. It was like, if you go up there, then maybe your dad will be alive.
Oh.
And there was a part of me that thought it, but there was a larger part of me that was like, no, you can climb as many hills as you want. He's going to remain dead.
Yeah, of course.
And that has proved to be the case.
Yeah. Well, you didn't walk up the hill, to be fair.
So yeah. It's actually fair point. We don't
know.
He
might still be up there. Did you come back? Oh, can you imagine?
I haven't gone back.
Can you imagine? If you got there, here's the question. If you got there and that same figure was up there waving,
at the bottom of the hill,
how much of you would believe that that might be your dad?
I mean, a bigger percentage.
Yeah.
My first thought, logically, I think, would be there's some kind of statue at the top of the hill that constantly waves.
Oh, in a waving position. Sure.
Yeah, that's probably more likely than the silhouette of my dead father. But I think I would, if there was still somebody at the top of that hill waving in exactly the same way.
Yeah.
When I went back now, I think I would have to go. You'd have to.
You would have to. I mean, if you went back now, it would sort of be quite weird not to go up there anyway if you decided to make the trip that far.
And then once again
decided, nah, I tell you what.
It would say a lot about my laziness if, having done all that, I got to the last one and there was the silhouette of my father waving as he had been 9 years ago, and I went, do you know what, my legs are so tired, I'm gonna head back. Actually, I'll shout something, see ya, see ya dad, I'm tired. He wouldn't be surprised, I don't think.
No, he's, well, be, he, you did very it to in him character. Once before, so he would be unsurprised if it happened again, I think, at this point.
Yeah,
it would just be following a trend that's been previously established. When you did the full walk with the money on the line, or as we've adjudged, not, was any spooky figures of your dad waving, or was it just in the practice?
Just in the practice. He didn't show up for the main event.
Didn't
Maybe because he
I
was
suppose.
Fairly pissed off by what happened in the first one.
Yeah. It's a lot of vouchers to do that kind of visit as well, so it's really...
Yeah, and he'd gone a lot of vouchers on that. No, I didn't. I didn't have any spooky dad based apparitions that time round. It was just a lot of rain and a lot of blisters. But no, that's the only sort of time where it felt a bit spooky, almost.
It's fun talking about funny versions of the afterlife, and joking about what if your dad came back. And coming up with the hilarious version of it. It's terrible to talk about things I've said that way, isn't it? Made me laugh anyway. But what is nice to do as well in these little outros of this episode, we like to summarise the episode. And I think what would be good to do is to touch on the afterlife itself with a little bit serious, Rich, a little bit serious.
Yeah.
What do you make of the old life after death?
Well, I mean, there's sort of the thing that you believe and the thing that you want to believe. The thing that I believe is that there is nothing after we die. And I'm okay with that. I'm fine with nothing. In fact, that's what when my dad died, we all put a little letter in his coffin. We didn't actually, you of course wrote
nothing because you believe.
I was like, well, he's not going to be able to read it, is he?
You believe nothing happens, well, no, so you put nothing in a letter. It makes sense.
That's a fair point. But no, I did. I wrote something. We didn't put it in. It was given to someone to put into the coffin with him, along with, like, we each put sort of something of ours in with him.
This is a lovely thing. I what did you put in?
I put in a little like a figurine of Captain Scarlet, because when I was a kid I was like obsessed with Captain Scarlet and dressed as Captain Scarlet all the time, and it was something sort of from my childhood that would resonate with my dad and make him think of me. And it's weird saying all this because having just established that I don't think there is anything out there, but this stuff, like we often say with funeral stuff, it means something to you. Mm. Maybe it doesn't matter what it means or doesn't mean to the person in question. And so I wrote a letter, and I think we all wrote letters, but I remember saying in mine that as far as both me and my dad believe, this is it. Mm. You're gone. You can't read this. We will never see each other again. But I sort of hope that there's some way that we can. And if that's true, I look forward to seeing you then. Something like that. And that is what I believe, is that when someone dies, they're gone. When I die, I'll be gone. When you die, you'll be gone. There won't be anything afterwards. But one thing that I like to think of is, I sometimes like to think of what other options of the afterlife there might be. And one that I sort of came up with or I heard somewhere, I don't really know.
Okay.
But there's a lovely song by Elbow called Switching Off, which is about having a really lovely day with someone and it being so nice that you make a mental note to think, this, I want this to be the last thing I ever think of. Like, the line is something like, I choose my final scene today. And so I had this sort of thought of, imagine if when you die, what happens is you get to go back and live the best day of your life as if it's for the first time, every day for eternity. And like, we could be doing that now. I hope not. No offense. If this is the best day of my life,
as it gets,
then it's going to have a really good final couple of hours.
I was going
to
say, and your partner isn't here either, so it's an unbelievable dig on her.
It would be quite upsetting for her.
Mm.
But sometimes I think that when I'm having a really good day, I think, oh, maybe this would be the day, or even this is the day. Maybe this is it. Maybe I'm living this day forever, and that would be a lovely way to spend eternity, I think.
What an interesting idea. Per the rules of the song, what would your final scene be?
This is a difficult thing because you sort of think, well, I can't have a day where I'm with my dad and my partner, because he died a long time before I ever met her. And so any day that I choose will either be without her or without my dad. But I think, weirdly, I don't know, and then you also want to choose a day where you see all the people that mean something to you, but I don't think you can. But you still, in the day, you have the memories of them, and you know that they're there. So I'm essentially saying this so that nobody gets offended that they're not in my final day.
Mm.
I've chosen to spend my final scene with my partner and the National in Victoria Park, at All Points East on August the 26th, 2022, where I took the day off work. Me and Jess went to see the National.
Mm.
Got exactly the right level of drunk for the whole day, maintained this sort of perfect, like, really happy, really fun thing. I saw the National, who are my favourite band, for the first time ever, and it was wonderful, and I would happily live that day every day until the day I die.
That's a lovely, it's a nice thing, isn't it?
And I say until the day I die, I'm already dead.
You're already dead, but in your mind, presumably you don't know you're dead, so it's...
Yeah.
That's lovely.
That'd be a good choice. But there's loads of them. There's loads of days I could choose. I'm very lucky for that. What do you think? What's your take on the afterlife?
I'd probably choose the when I went on the lazy river at Disney World.
Yeah. So. That seems quite heavenly. Because there's a certain... You could just be on an endless lazy river.
Sometimes we talk about things and I get a little bit worried because I don't want to ever create the impression that I'm advertising or promoting something, because I'm not. I don't get paid for this. I never will. Not certainly not as long as I'm at my current employer. never get paid to promote anything. But that being said, I don't think you need to be paid to say Walt Disney World is the best thing there is. Disney World is unbelievable. The Lazy River was something I wanted to do at Disney World my entire life, and it was better than I could have ever conceived of. It was better than anything I could have ever wished for. It was an unbelievably brilliant day. And
so
I don't
what is
think
the
it
Lazy
could
River?
Be better than that. A Lazy River is a humongous river that goes around the water park. It probably take you something like 15 minutes or 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes to go around the whole thing. If you're sat in one of those donuts and just sat there and you just float around the whole thing. And you could swim around the whole thing, or you could have a floaty thing, go around the whole thing. It's so good in 35 degree heat, in perfect temperature water, lying on this thing, feeling so relaxed. It's like the most extreme version of Hakuna Matata there is. It is, when they say, you know, the tagline, Disney has the happiest place on earth, that really is, I don't think happiness could really have got much better than that. Although there was a sort of unbelievable schadenfreude to it, in that when I went in there's a big pool, it's getting a little bit close to an advertisement, there's a big pool and waves come towards you, humongous waves that hit you and blow you backwards. Me and my dad had a not dissimilar experience to that in Alicante in Spain. We took me there on holiday, where the actual waves of the ocean were so powerful on that day that when they hit you, you just had to jump with them, making your body like a surfboard, and it would take you to the shore. It was such an incredibly wild experience. So unlike anything I'd ever had, but and we shared that memory of us both just laughing and enjoying this blast off thing. That I did think while we were in this water thing at Disney, I just kept thinking, you know, you saw the dads there with their kids. My God, you know, it would have been impossible to ever get my dad to go to Disney World. That there's no way he would have never, ever, ever done that. That's so outside of his character. But let me tell you something, listeners, he would have absolutely loved that. And I just the whole day, and in a weird way, maybe it made it a little bit better. Maybe it was a bit worse. Maybe it was a bit better. But I had these, I was nuts because I wasn't thinking about the sad bit. I was thinking about how much he would have loved it. And that made it better, maybe. And it was hard to be sad when you're just being smashed by the water. And if you cry, the water washes away your tears. So you're laughing.
Yeah, perfect. That's a really good point, because I think sometimes that's the closest you can feel to someone who's died, is when you do something and you think, oh, they'd have loved this.
Mm.
It is a sort of bittersweet feeling, but there are times where you have a day like that, or you're an experience like that, or you hear a song, or you see a film, or you go somewhere and you just think, oh, this would have been the kind of thing my dad would have loved, and I would have loved him to be there as well. And it is a sad thought, but also like a really sweet, happy thought.
If such a thing as an afterlife were to exist, I don't think it could ever really be the thing I would want it to be, unless it were me, all my mates, my dad, at Typhoon Lagoon, getting absolutely blasted with waves flying backwards. You know, I just can't see how it could be any better, really.
Yeah, and that's the thing about heaven and the idea of it, which, as we've established, I don't think either of us really believe in, but if you do, fantastic. And heaven obviously would exist in a way that we can't comprehend of.
Mm.
Because we can't comprehend it, when you actually think about what heaven would be like, you have all these questions that sort of ruin it. Like, well, what age is everyone there? Because like, if now I live to, let's say, 83, and then I die, my dad's going to be 55, and I'll be an old man. And then it'll be awkward. It'll be sort of odd to be around. Or are we all the age that we want to be? So you can be like 23, but then everyone's 23. So my dad's 23 and I'm 23. Are we all 23? What if you know, children that died, are they also 23? They're not going to choose to be 23.
This is easy to fix. You look how you look in your head, but people see you how they see you in their head. Done. Nailed it.
Oh. Oh. But then, so what if then my dad sees me as like a 12-year-old, but I'm there with my wife? Would that not be confusing? Or I'm like, can we go to the Heaven pub? And he's like, well, no, you're 12 years old. You have to go to bed now.
But you can change like, in his eyes. You can change. He's trying to put you to bed. It's a bedtime in Heaven, of course. You're lying in bed. You can hear everyone splashing around.
He's been waiting decades for me to arrive. He's like, I've got my boy back. I'm going to be your dad again. Get up the stairs to bed.
Yeah, bedtime, though. We'll have time to talk in the morning. But
we've got eternity.
Yeah, but get to bed.
Yeah, so there's all these logistical problems that mean that it's impossible to comprehend of.
Yeah, but maybe that's the point.
Maybe that's the point. Or maybe life is, and heaven is, just one big lazy river, and we're all there, and we're all floating around endlessly in the sun, getting blasted by, what was it, the Typhoon Lagoon?
Yeah, Typhoon Lagoon. If Disney is listening, I can't take anything from you, but
I can.
If you were to give Rich two tickets...
It'd be me and the ghost of my dad. That's who'd go.
Oh, no!
Pack up your daily whale, Dad. We're going to Disneyland.
Oh, well, fine. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this weird podcast. As ever, please do remember just one thing. And that one thing is this. Death comes for us all, Rich.
But it comes for you first.
Good night.
Good night. We'll be back next week as well. With a guest.
Lovely.
Sorry, I had to jam that in at the end.
Oh, whatever. Jam it in.